Welcome to the deep dive. If you're involved in crafting or maybe growing beverage brands in the cannabis and hemp-derived THC space, well, you're definitely in the right place today.
Yeah,
We're
absolutely.
focusing, really laser focusing on something pretty crucial: flavor trends. Things that can, help you make your next big decision.
Exactly. We've been digging into the Beverage Flavor Report 041025. It gives a really granular view of what's been selling, what's moving off shelves.
In the last 90 days, right?
That's right, across 13 key states. So think of it like inside intel on what people are actually buying.
Okay, so our mission today basically is to pull out the most valuable nuggets from all this data, specifically for you listing. Maybe you're formulating your first product, maybe looking to, spice up an existing lineup.
We'll be looking at the popular stuff, the flavors showing crazy growth, regional differences, which are key, and maybe where some innovation opportunities are hiding.
Okay, perfect. So let's jump right in. What are the absolute top dogs, the biggest sellers in the last 90 days, just based on total sales?
Okay, so the report really hammers home the appeal of those familiar fruit flavors. Lemonade is right at the top. We're talking $2.9 million in sales.
Wow. Okay.
Right behind that, you got raspberry or blue raspberry combined there at $2.1 million.
Still really strong.
Yeah. Then citrus at $1.7 million, strawberry at $1.5 million, and then lemon or lime comes in at $1.3 million.
So it's interesting how these like core, really recognizable flavors just keep performing so well.
They really do. It's that consistent appeal.
Like comfort food, but for drinks, isn't it? Almost.
Kinda, yeah.
But okay, those are the mainstays. Important, sure. But what's like catching fire right now? Where are we seeing real growth, say, month over month? That's where I might spot the next big thing, right?
Absolutely. That month-over-month data can be a fantastic indicator of where things are heading, where interest is peaking. Apricot is showing really remarkable momentum.
Apricot.
Yeah, up 85.1%. It's a big jump. We're also seeing significant spikes in cherry cola. That's up 42.9%. Orange cola, 35.8%. Mango pineapple, 26.8%. And passion fruit is up 29.2%.
Interesting mix there.
It is. And what's also notable is even some of those top sellers we just mentioned, like raspberry, blue raspberry, and lemonade, they're still growing nicely month over month, too, around 16.7% and 15.5%, respectively.
So the whole category is still pretty vibrant then.
Definitely suggests that, yeah.
That apricot and those cola variations, that's fascinating. Makes you wonder if people are looking for, I don't know, a little twist on the familiar, or maybe something just totally different.
Could be both. People like novelty, but sometimes within a familiar frame, like cola.
Right. Okay, let's zoom out a bit then. What about year-over-year growth? Thinking longer term, this might show more established or persistent trends, maybe?
Yeah, looking at the year-over-year picture, it's pretty compelling. Now, keep in mind, the absolute sales for some of these might be way smaller, but the growth percentage tells the story. Cherry Cola is the headline here. An absolutely astounding 525.9% growth.
5,000%. Whoa. But off a tiny base, I assume?
Exactly. Crucial point. It started very, very small. And still, that's massive interest. Then you have Cherry Cola, maybe a slightly different formulation or branding, up 274.5%. Still huge.
That's definitely significant. What else?
Beyond the colas, we see cinnamon up 119%, vanilla cola 83.1%, coconut 63.7%. Then there's caramel, caramel, dulce de leche grouped together up 60.6%.
Interesting, more dessert-like flavors creeping in.
Right. And root beer is up 57.5%, chocolate 55.1%. Then it gets even more interesting with lavender at 49%.
Lavender. Okay, that's definitely speaking to a different kind of consumer, perhaps.
I think so. Then cream soda, 45.5%, cherry on its own at 40.1%, ginger 39.2%, coffee 36.4%.
The coffee, too.
Wow. Blueberry 30.7%. Huckleberry, that's an interesting one, 29.9%. Citrus again showing good growth at 28.5%, and regular cola at 23.3%.
Wow. Okay. Those year-over-year numbers, they really do highlight some potential long-term shifts. That cherry cola jump, even from a small start, is just something's happening there.
Definitely something to watch.
And the classics like root beer and cola still growing strong. But lavender, cinnamon, coffee. That hints at, consumers looking for maybe more complex or unexpected experiences.
Seems that way. People are exploring.
Okay, now the report also talks about revenue per flavor. How does looking at the dollars, instead of just the number of cans or bottles sold, give us a different angle, especially for you, the brand builder listening?
That's a really critical distinction, right? Because high unit sales don't always mean the most revenue. Price point plays a huge role.
Right.
So, for example, lemonade sells the most units, like we said. But a flavor category like cannabis or hops actually pulls in significant revenue. Why? Probably because it sells at a higher average price per unit.
Okay, makes sense. More premium positioning, maybe.
Could be. And similarly, you look at flavors like hot cocoa or mint, their total sales volume might be quite low, relatively speaking.
Yeah, probably pretty niche.
Exactly. But their average price points might be higher, suggesting a niche, yes, but potentially a very valuable, profitable segment for the right brand.
Right.
So analyzing by revenue helps you understand the actual, you know, financial landscape.
So basically, a smaller slice of the pie can still be very worthwhile if it's a richer slice.
Precisely. Could be a viable strategy.
Got it. Okay, geography. Let's talk location. Does the report show interesting differences across those 13 states? You know, for brands thinking about expanding or entering new markets, this must be vital.
Oh, absolutely vital. Regional preferences are a huge piece of this puzzle. You can't just assume what works in one state will work everywhere.
So what are we seeing? Is a lemonade king everywhere?
Well, lemonade does frequently rank very high in many of those 13 states. NY, WA, IL, CA, OR, MI, MO, AZ, NV, COMAMDOH, it pops up a lot.
Okay.
But the other top flavors, they can vary quite a bit. What's a massive hit in, say, California might just do okay, or even poorly in Michigan,
right,
or vice versa. The full state-by-state detail is in the report. But the big takeaway for you listening is a one-size-fits-all flavor strategy. Probably not your best bet.
Yeah, you really got to drill down into the specific state or even region within a state that you're targeting.
You absolutely do. Do your homework for that market.
It really underscores that need. Okay, thinking about opportunities then. Beyond the obvious big sellers, where are some maybe less obvious niches? Places where brands could potentially, you know, make a mark?
Yeah, this is where it gets exciting for brands trying to stand out. Like we touched on with the year-over-year growth, those flavors like cherry cola, cinnamon, lavender.
Mm-hmm.
Even if their total sales volume isn't massive yet, that strong growth percentage suggests rising consumer interest. A potential trend brewing?
So getting in early, maybe?
Could be. And then there's this metric in the report called attribute fair share. It's kind of interesting.
Okay, explain that.
Think of it like this. If maybe only two or three brands offer Huckleberry flavor, right? And those drinks are selling reasonably well. Their average sales per brand for Huckleberry, their fair share, might look really good compared to, say, lemonade, where you might have dozens and dozens of brands competing, even though lemonade's total sales are way higher.
Ah, so it points to potentially less crowded spaces.
Exactly. Less competition, maybe a more dedicated audience. So flavors like Huckleberry or maybe pomegranate or some of those other unique lower ranking ones might represent these less crowded spaces where you can actually gain traction.
Interesting. And don't forget those really niche, high price ones like mint or hot cocoa you mentioned.
Right. Very specific, maybe seasonal, but potentially quite profitable niches if you can connect with that audience.
So yeah, while the big volume game is in those core fruits, there's definitely room to build something cool and successful around a more distinctive or up-and-coming flavor.
For sure. Differentiation can be key.
Okay, flip side then. What flavors just show that broad, consistent appeal? The real staples that, you know, most brands should probably have or at least consider in their lineup.
Yeah, for building that solid foundation, reaching a really wide audience, you got to look back at those core fruit flavors we started with.
Lemonade, raspberry.
Lemonade, raspberry, blue raspberry, citrus, strawberry. Their high sales are consistent. Their attribute fair share is generally strong despite the competition.
Yeah.
It just confirms they have widespread popularity. Market penetration is deep there.
They're the safe bets, basically.
Pretty much. And I'd add, don't discount the classic soda flavors. Root beer and cola, we saw they have significant year-over-year growth. That indicates a really dependable market segment too. Broad appeal.
Good reminder. Familiarity can be a powerful thing. Okay, lastly, the report mentions specific brand and flavor combinations doing well. Any key examples that jump out? What can we learn from them?
Yeah, looking at those successful pairings is really instructive. You see brands like St. Ides nailing it with their raspberry or blue raspberry drinks.
Mm-hmm. He knows around.
Keef Cola has built a strong presence with a range of classic soda flavors. Journeyman's Lemonade is another one that performs really well consistently.
So they've found that sweet spot with a popular flavor.
They have. But it's also worth looking at brands that have maybe carved out a niche with a less common flavor and built a strong identity around it, even if they aren't topping the overall charts.
Right. Finding success in those areas we talked about.
Exactly. So Examining these successful pairings, both the big ones and the niche ones, can definitely provide some inspiration for your own brand strategy. How are they positioning it? What's the dose? The packaging? It all plays in.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's try and distill this down. For everyone listening in the cannabis beverage world, established players, startups, maybe even ancillary foes like canners or ingredient suppliers, what are the key actionable insights? What should they be taking away from this flavor data dump?
Okay, well, I think for new brands just entering, it's really about finding that balance. You might consider offering one of the high volume core flavors, you know, to capture that broad market.
Get some initial traction.
Right. But also explore those niche flavors showing that strong growth or where there's less competition. That's your differentiation play.
And the regional data.
And critically, yes, analyze that regional data for your specific target markets. Don't skip that step.
Okay, and for brands already out there, existing players.
For existing brands, this report is like a roadmap for potential line extensions or maybe introducing entirely new flavors. Look at the growth trends. See what's hot. Assess how your current stuff is doing region by region.
Maybe pivot or tailor offerings based on that.
Exactly. Consider tailoring the portfolio. The big picture message here, I think, for everyone, is that this market moves fast. It's dynamic.
For sure.
So continuously monitoring flavor performance, staying tuned in to what consumers are leaning towards, it's absolutely essential if you want long-term success and want to stay ahead of the curve. You can't just set it and forget it with flavors.
Excellent points. Really practical advice there. So let's recap quickly. Core fruit flavors, still dominant, still the volume drivers.
Yep, the foundation.
But significant growth in some specific niche areas. Think cherry cola, think lavender, cinnamon, and also in some refreshed classics presents some really exciting opportunities for brands to explore.
Definitely. Lots of potential there.
And maybe the biggest underline, regional tastes matter a lot. You have to know your specific market.
Cannot emphasize that enough. Precision matters.
Okay. So with all that swirling around, here's a final thought for you, our listener, to take away and chew on. How do these flavor trends we've talked about, how do they actually intersect with your ideal customer, with the unique identity you're trying to build for your brand?
Yeah, where's the overlap?
Or the opportunity.
Right. And what unexpected flavor combination, maybe drawing from the familiar, maybe from the totally new, maybe blending them, what might just be the next breakout hit in your specific market?
Think about it.
What untapped profiles could really grab the attention of cannabis beverage drinkers who are maybe looking for something new, but maybe also something, you know, comforting with a cool twist?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. That's your challenge to ponder as you keep innovating out there. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.